542nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, Avo. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsversussports.com. That's arbsversusodds.com. Plus, in honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a free tailor-made Spider X putter. That's all for free. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
Heidi ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 542. And boy, it's going to be a big one. Part one of two big ones. This one's going to go out to Mama Does Sports, aka Eric Does Sports Mom, because he passed along one of my jokes to her and she laughed. So that's all it takes to win yourself over with Jeff Chalks Fox. Laugh at one of my stupid jokes and I will give you a shout out. So keep that in mind, anyone, if you want to butter me up and get your name or handle mentioned on this here show. That's how I'm bribed to do it. Thanks for coming to the show. Like I said, this is going to be a big one. The biggest fight card of all time, whether it is or not, is up for debate, but we do have UFC 300 coming down this weekend. And today is all about the prelims, which, you know, normally there's some fights that you don't care as much about on normal prelims, even on pay-per-view prelims, but this is not the case with this week's card. Basically, every fight on the card, top to bottom, could headline a UFC fight night, I would say. Maybe Cody Brundage headlining something might be a little sketchy or sus or whatever the kids say nowadays.
That would be the most normal Apex headliner.
It's true. Middleweight. Time. That's right.
It's a middleweight fight. It's kind of a mismatch. Yeah. Give me that.
The voice you just heard is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. I won't introduce him anymore now because he's already talking. Hi, Gumby. Hey, I mentioned a middleweight. And he couldn't resist. He heard a middleweight. He's like, oh,
that's the
Cody Brundage.
That's the weight class I used to compete in jiu-jitsu too. Like 79, yep. 85. Those were like jiu-jitsu weights. And
Are you too fat now? No, or you just don't compete?
Well, a little bit. Last time I competed was 200. So yep. we moved on up a little bit. And then, I'm too old for that. Now you don't need to hear this in a UFC 300 preview, but everybody who competes in jiu-jitsu tournaments now, you know, looks like they're carved out of stone. And I don't.
Well, I thought it was supposed to be the gentle art, and you're supposed to, it doesn't matter how big you are, you're supposed to be able to foul big people.
I keep trying to be gentle. They don't.
Yep. That's a problem when you hang out with young kids and all that testosterone, they just want to hurt you. So, UFC 300, Gumby, pretty true, right? Every one of these fights would be a fight night main event this time, this day and age, right?
Yeah, and the thing I keep talking to people, including my other co-host on my other podcast, about like, is this worthy of being UFC 300, right? Like, that's what's going around in the media and on websites right now and stuff like that. And the fact of the matter is it doesn't have the bangers at the top that we were expecting UFC 300 to have. You know, it's not Conor's return, or it's not Izzy versus Pettis 3, or it's not, you know, like something like that. You know, GSP, somehow they talked out of retirement and he's going to fight Habib. Like, that's what everybody wanted. But the fact of the matter is they made it so that literally every fight on the card, even a casual's heard of that person. Right, like we got two former title holders, not even challengers, two title holders who we kind of wanted to watch in a fight, like a super fight when they were champs. And now they're going to go at it in the opening prelim. It's a fun fight too. That's the other piece too, is that like a lot of these fights, you know, like a lot of times I'm like, does it answer a question or is it fun? Or, you know, like all of these do all of it. All of them answer a question and all of them are fun. So like, even if you don't love the headliner, or even if you don't love the freaking dumbness of the BMF title, you know, like this is still a pretty damn good card.
Yeah, no, it's not top heavy, which maybe better for it. That it's better from top to bottom for sure. This is, I would say, you know, off the top of my head, my memory fails me often in this old age, but it's probably the strongest card top to bottom that I have seen the UFC put on.
Deepest. Yes, definitely.
Deepest. Yeah, deepest. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. There was some debate in the Discord about it. If you want to get in there, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord and put your event recommendation in there. Our man Turnip had some events that he was talking about being most memorable and stuff like that to him. So get in there if you want to throw your hat in the ring. But UFC did a good job here. And as of now, knock on wood, I assume this is wood, this table I'm on. It at least is painted wood colored. The card is held up. We don't have a whole bunch of fights falling through. According to Tapology, Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad, they have that listed as canceled or fizzled. They have it listed as fizzled, but I don't know if that ever was really going to happen anyhow. So.
Not really, no.
Yeah. So as of now, we are good. Nothing has fallen, befallen. I made up a new word. Befallen this event. Gumby, do you have any of these? Oh, no, you do. I was going to ask you. Are any of these people on this event on Top Turtle this week? But Jim Miller... But Jim Miller doesn't pull out of fights, but it could jinx his fight. Nothing happened to Jim, but nothing could happen. Did you happen to talk to him before he got Lyme disease that felled him for years?
No, only after. Only since he's recovered and had a career resurgence.
Those questions are seriously too. No. Honest. All right. Before I move on with this fight card and stop talking about silly jinxes, I have to tell you, it is Masters Week for those of you into the golf. And in honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast, which is a great show. People love it. They are always churning out amazing content, always, and more importantly, always seem to be giving away winning bets. Not just winning bets. This week, they're giving away a TaylorMade Spyder X putter, which I assume is a good thing since they're giving away. And I've heard of TaylorMade, so I know that. That is probably a good thing. But anyhow, you golfers out there will know whether it's good or not. I don't think Gumby is a golfer either, so he doesn't know the answers here. But you can enter it for free and win this here, putter. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. Make sure you listen to the Golf Gambling Podcast every episode they put out as well, or watch them on YouTube or all that good stuff. All right, enough other sport talk. Let's get right down to this. Enough talking about how good this card is. Let's actually dive into it. We are doing the prelims today. Tomorrow will be the main card in all our fancy plays as per usual. So of course this is UFC 300. We're talking about Pereira versus Hill. April the 13th is Saturday. Las Vegas, Nevada. Where else could it be held? In the T-Mobile Arena. 6 p.m. are the prelim start times, and that's what we're the early prelim start times, and then the main prelims will be 8 p.m. Before we dive into our picks, people love when I waste time off the top. Thoughts on the odds or on the prelim parts?
They're all pretty much what I expected.
Really? I found some nice value on some of these. Okay. Some of these
bets. Yeah, I found value, but like usually the public's a little bit off on some of my odds too.
Yeah, stupid public. Fade the public, right? All right, let's jump into the aforementioned fight, the fight that we were hyping up before. Two title holders going at it in the curtain jerker. We've never seen that happen before. Deiveson Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt, Brazil versus the USA, 3 5-minute rounds at bantamweight. We're going to tell you, first of all, about Mr. Garbrandt. No love is nickname. And when I tell you the odds, you'll see he's getting no love here. He's 14-5 with 11 knockouts. He's been knocked out 4 times. 9-5 in the UFC. Used to be the bantamweight champion of the world. He's won 2 straight fights before that. He lost 2 straight. Won his last fight via TKO. Used to fight at flyweight briefly, I think for one fight maybe. 2012 pro MMA debut. 3 inches height, 4 inches. Let me spit that out again. 3 inches of height over Figueiredo. 4 years younger than him. Garbrandt has been outstruck in the UFC by 0.85 strikes per minute, meaning he almost gets hit one time more by his opponent per minute than he hits them, and he's at plus 255. Figueiredo, Daiko, Deuce, De Guerra. They don't have Figgy Smalls listed anymore on Tapology, but
wasn't that his little brother?
No, I think he was Figgy Smalls. I don't think his brother deserves a nickname. what does Daiko mean again?
I don't remember. Yeah, but De Guerra is God of War.
Yes, God of War, yes. We have a few God of Wars. We have another God of War who just lost to Mr. Poirier. Anyhow, this is Mr. Figueiredo we're talking about. He's 22-3-1, 9 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, so extremely durable. Even for the lighter weight classes, he's very, very durable. 11-3-1 in the UFC. Used to be the champion at flyweight multiple times, twice, I think, to be exact. Loss, win over his last 4. 2012 pro MMA debut, 3 inches of reach over Garbrandt. Better striking stats, better grappling stats than Garbrandt. He also has been outstruck in the UFC by 0.38 strikes per minute. This is minus 300. This is his bantamweight debut, at least in the UFC. Am I correct there?
He fought one more time before.
Right, he just fought last fight. Right?
Because he's a ranked bantamweight already, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that doesn't, that means nothing, you ranking people. Yeah,
Rob Font. He beat the hell out of Rob Font. That's right. That does mean something. Yeah, that actually means something.
All right, tell us about this champion versus champion battle.
I'm going Davis and Figueiredo. Like, the beauty of this fight for me is that Cody Garbrandt is a guy, we've talked about his chin just needing work and the fact that he overexerts himself and winds up in really bad positions, willing to get punished. And, like, obviously, that's bad at bantamweight because there's so many dangerous bantamweights. We've seen it cost him, right? Like, we've seen him, you know, who is it that he went toe-to-toe with in that fight and just, like, trading bombs back and forth until he got knocked. Am I thinking of Pedro Munhoz? And like,
maybe he's been knocked out four times. So
Davison Figueiredo hits harder than Pedro Munhoz. I'm here to tell you, despite his age and the fact that he's coming up from flyweight, Figueiredo looks great at this weight class. He's got great pace. And the thing you can always say about Davison Figueiredo, even going back to any of those losses you want to find at flyweight, is he's not a guy who gets put out of place. His defense sucks at any point in time. He gets hit a lot. Like, despite being a guy who's aggressive, he's extremely good defensively. So even if Cody Garbrandt tries to suck him into some kind of brawl, I think he's the type of guy who punishes Garbrandt, and Garbrandt's the type of guy who has got a chin that gets checked. So I love Davison Figueiredo in this spot. I think this is KO all day if you're trying to look for a prop on this one. Mm-hmm. I don't even really see very much upside in Cody Garbrandt. I don't know how he wins this fight.
No, I will always fade a Chen because it never lets you down. Chen will always let down the person holding the chin, but betting against someone with a bad chin will never let you down. Chris Weidman will be knocked out again. Don't worry, it will happen. Once the chin is gone, it is gone. And yeah, this is a bad matchup for Garbrandt, as Gumby just laid out. Figueiredo should be able to find that chin. I don't see any reason why his power will not translate up to bantamweight, especially now that he doesn't have to cut as much weight. I'm sure he was basically a bantamweight fighting at flyweight as it was anyhow. So, and if you're wondering, we'll get more into it tomorrow. Figueiredo via knockouts plus 200, which seems to be a very nice line as well. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow, possibly, when we give out our fancy plays. All right, we're moving up a couple weight classes. Lightweights next. Bobby Green, Jim Miller, U.S. versus U.S. Couple of OGs going at it. Of course, famously, this will be Jim Miller's. This was planned out actually for years, maybe even decades. Jim Miller fought at UFC 100, UFC 200, UFC 300. Did you watch UFC 100 when it happened? Yeah. Were you a fan at that point? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was hanging out with some friends and I told them I had to leave to go home to watch UFC 100 with my brothers. Oh
yeah. I went to my brother's house to watch UFC 100, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Very memorable event for sure. All right. Jim Miller was there. Will he make UFC 400? That's what, 8 years from now or more. So
He says he's got five fights left.
Yeah, five. Well, he can stretch him out over 8 years then. Shouldn't be an issue. All right, let's talk about Miller. A10 is the nickname. If you want to know why that's his nickname, you can check out Top Turtle archives. Find Jim Miller on there. Probably was a few appearances ago, but he does tell you why. That is his nickname. He's 37-17 with one no contest, 7 knockouts, 20 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. So extremely durable man. 16-16 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 5 of 6. All of those wins have come via finish. Old man strength, I tell you. Used to fight at welterweight, 2005 pro MMA debut. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.22 strikes per minute. So almost a wash there. Better grappling stats than Green, plus 150. King Bobby Green, 31-15-1 with 1 no contest. So similar records to these guys, except Green gets most of his done via knockout rather than submission. 11 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted twice. 12-10-1 with 1 no contest in the UFC. 2-1 over his last 3. Got knocked out in his last fight. 5-1 in Strikeforce. Strikeforce never die. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. And maybe you'll find something sticky in there as well if you check it out. Used to fight at welterweight, 2008 pro MMA debut, 2 inches height, 3 years younger than Miller. Better striking stats, and he's twice more active landing strikes than Miller is. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.4 strikes per minute, which is a pretty elite number there. Minus 175. Am I just going with my heart here? I'm taking Jim Miller. I gotta, I just, he finds, he's been finding a way to win and finish fights. I think that's the key. Bobby Green, not really much of a finisher, more of a, you know, a point fighter at this point, I guess always in his career. Coming off a knockout loss, going up against old man strength, who probably will be pretty ramped up being able to fight at UFC 300. I think Miller's worth a stab at a dog price here at plus 150. So give me A10 Jim Miller.
We're going to back to back this one. I'm going to go Jim Miller as well. And yeah. Like, you know, to your point, like, am I working with my brain or am I working with my head? I don't know, probably half and half, if we're being honest, because
am I working with my brain or am I working with my head? You said you're working not with your brain, apparently.
Well, my heart's in my head.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. We have different anatomy here in the United States.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. So, you know what I meant? Jim Miller.
I know.
Jim Miller is a guy who, as his career has sort of morphed forward like this, has changed, right? Like, on one hand, yes, he's still the Jim Miller with awesome submission skills, but kind of he's at an age where he's like, I can't wrestle for 15 minutes nonstop without my body falling apart. So now he's like, maybe I'll just knock people out. And he's doing a damn good
just
job.
Just decided, hey, why not? Let's knock some people out.
What if I just start throwing this damn right hand and it works? And it has, like, he's putting people out with that right hand. And I'm not here to say Bobby Green has got a crap chin, because the people who are knocking him out, they're legit as hell, right? Like, getting knocked out by Jalen Turner. I'm not here to tell you you're bad at fighting because you're getting knocked out by Jalen Turner. But he did get knocked out by He did get knocked out by Jalen Turner. And as we've talked about with big knockouts, those are not things where you're like, oh, this guy hits us hard, all of a sudden this knockout doesn't work. These things are cumulative. Your head starts rattling around in your skull. All of a sudden, you're getting knocked out all the time. And Jim Miller has been putting people away with that right hand. I love the idea that Jim Miller does it again here to Bobby Green. I think if he winds up on the right punch, he gets Bobby Green kind of into one of those firefights. I mean, Bobby Green sometimes likes to march forward technically, but sometimes he gets suckered into a big fight. Being on the big stage here, I think there's a total chance he gets suckered into one. And if he does, I like Jim Miller's chance to just catch one on the chin and put him out.
That was Gumby's anatomy class, 101. It's now been, it's now over. You're free to go. We will have an exam at the end of the class. You can talk about where your heart's located, and we can talk about your brain rattled around your skull and all that good stuff. So, yeah, hoping Jim, not that I'm anti-Bobby Green by any means, but hoping Jim Miller can come through here. All right, who did Jim Miller fight at UFC 100 and UFC 200, Gumby, off the top of your head, and what were the results?
Mac Danzig and Taki Gomi. Decision over Danzig, sub over Gomi.
There you go.
Mac Danzig. He only needs a KO to complete the trifecta.
Complete the cycle.
Yeah. Thinking with Mac our Danzig. Brains now.
I like that dude. I liked him.
Yeah, I love Mac Danzig. He was fun as hell.
Of course. He was on Tough. Of course you like him. You would pick him in a fight if I can't remember.
Tough 3 with, like, I believe that was the Nate Diaz, Manny Burian season.
Yeah, sounds right. All right, before we do more Tough talk, I don't think there is any other Tough talk on this episode. Maybe there is. We're going to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you got to do, pick between 2 and 5 players or fighters to build a pick a mentor. I say fighters because, yes, they do have UFC. Just maybe if you check out sportsgamblingpodcast.com on Thursday, just maybe you'll see a Underdog Fantasy article by yours truly. I'm just saying. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Pick a stat total that you like. Like for MMA, they have takedowns, significant strikes, fight time, all that type of stuff. You pick higher or lower. And if you hit enough of these, so basically if you max it out, you can win 100 times your money in a single night. You don't have to wait a full season for this fantasy sport to pay you off. So get in there. Read our articles. Gumby and I do NBA articles on this every day as well. If you need more guidance, here's what you do. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN. That's the key. Make sure you use our code, please, to let people know that you are a listener of our show, and you can get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. You visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code, Gumby's promo code MMASGPN. The only promo code to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. I say www, but I think everyone knows at that point. that you do have to WWW. You don't even have to WWW anymore, do you? These machines are so smart. You just type in the address and it'll take you there, or tell your device to take you there. The old man says, all right. Do we have another banger coming up? Yeah, I guess so. Would have been better a few years ago, but we'll take it regardless. Yeah, we're going to the female side, dropping down to strawweights, Jessica Andrade, Brazil, Mahina Rodriguez, Brazil. This is 3 5-minute rounds. Like I said, another card fight probably would headline a fight card nowadays, and we would be happy about it rather than a middleweight fight. Tell you about Rodriguez first. 17-3-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out once. 7-3-2 in the UFC. She's only won 1 of her last 3. Before that, she'd won 4 straight. So 1-2, 5-2 are the records we're dealing with. Won her last fight via TKO to jump back off her 2-fight losing skid. Used to fight at flyweight. 1-0 on Dana White Contender Series. 5 inches height over Andrade, 3 inches of reach. And she has outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.88 strikes per minute. So a very good number there. Plus 122. Beta Estasa Andrade, which means...
pile driver.
Correct. 25-12. 10 knockouts, 8 submissions. 5 knockouts. She's been knocked out 5 times, submitted 4 times. 16-10 in the UFC. Used to be the champion of the world at this weight class. 1-3 over her last 4. She did win her last fight via TKO. So both ladies ended their losing skids last fight via TKO. Used to fight at flyweight and bantamweight. 2011 was her pro MMA debut. 4 years younger than Rodriguez. You wouldn't really guess that, but it'd be true. Yeah, weird, right?
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, Rodriguez came around late, and Andrade, she came around really early in their respective careers. More active landing strikes, Andrade is, and then Rodriguez, better grappling stats. She's got a plus strike differential of 1.36 strikes per minute, so she outstrikes her opponents. And she's at minus 135, so a pretty close line here after a big line in the opener. We got a couple close ones back to back.
I'm going to go with the underdog here. I'm going to take Marina Rodriguez. I think for me, and it's not that Jessica Andrade is like spent. But for me, the Yan Xiaonan fight gives me way too much concern. And don't get me wrong, she bounced back after that, right? She, like you said, they got back in the win column, and that's nice. And is Marina Rodriguez's win over Michelle Waterson good? No, nobody cares. But like... you could say the same thing about Andrade, because her last fight, like, I don't know that she showed that she like fixed all the errors in that Yan Xiaonan fight. And the biggest error was just that, like, her chin doesn't hold up either. Like, she's somebody who's been chin checked by somebody who we largely talked about as having no punching power for years, right? Like, Yan Xiaonan, we regularly talked about in the same vein as, man, I'm trying to think of somebody who we talk about similar to her, like a more skilled fire fist, right? She was the type of person who put like really good volume performances on, but she's like, none of those punches did any damage. And what did she do? She flatlined Jessica Andrade quick into that fight. And to me, that's a problem here, because Andrade, you said she's shorter, right? In this fight, she got less reach.
Yeah.
I have to imagine. I didn't hear
5 inches of height, 3 inches of reach. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you add that in, and the fact that Rodriguez hits hard, I do think that that's going to be a problem for Andrade. You know, there's always the wrestling here. Does she go to it early enough? But look, Marina Rodriguez held up against Mackenzie Dern's grappling. I think if she can hold up against Mackenzie Dern's grappling, she holds up against Andrade's too. So give me Rodriguez here as a slight dog.
I was going to take Rodriguez, but here we go. We're going to differ here. I'm taking Andrade. Tough one to pick as the odds show. But yeah, grappling obviously is big in Andrade's favor, and her strength and power. Obviously, she's a tank at the weight class. Like you said, you got to be concerned about the chin. Not that Rodriguez is a huge knockout artist. 7 knockouts in 17 fights isn't massive. I just like Andrade's game overall. But that being said, I don't have much faith in either lady really going forward. But in this matchup, I think Andrade has enough left in the tank. With her power and her all-around game to beat Rodriguez. So we shall differ on this one, and we'll see how it shakes out, won't we? We got to differ at least one to make things interesting, right? All right, you know what else is interesting? One of our newer sponsors that we have, AVO. It's spelled A-V-O, but it's pronounced A-V-O. We are proud to partner up with A-V-O, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage, sports betting is very simple, basically betting both sides of a bet at 2 different sports books to lock in a profit. That's what we're all here for. The A-V-O tool scans the sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and then tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. The tool is super easy to use and lightning fast. The speed is a big part of arbitrage sports betting. The best part is Abo is currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, completely free. You can start it today at arbsversusodds.com. I shall spell it for you. arbsvsodds.com. That's arbsversusodds.com. All right. Nothing but picks the rest of the way through here for y'all. We're moving back to the men's side and up to lightweight again. Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano, U.S. versus Brazil, 3 5-minute rounds. Moicano, actually, it's not his real name, Gumby. Do you remember his real last name?
Yeah, Carneiro.
Yes. And why is he called Moicano? What does Moicano mean?
Means mohawk. And when he was a little kid in joining jiu-jitsu classes, he had a mohawk.
I like how Brazil, your nickname just becomes your name. It becomes your last name. His last name is Mohawk now. I see him listed as Money Moicano on Tapology as well as a nickname. So that's funny. Anyhow, we shall call him Moicano. He is 18-5-1 with 10 submissions, been knocked out 3 times, submitted once, 10-5 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 4 of 5. He's not lost since March 2022. He's fed at featherweight. 2010 pro MMA debut, one nose pro grappler, has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.61 strikes per minute plus 205. The tarantula, Jalen Turner, 14-7, 10 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he's finished everyone. He himself has been knocked out 3 times, 7-4 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last 3, won his last via knockout, has missed weight before at 155. So keep in mind that. For the record, fighters that miss weight only win 41% of the time. So, it's not a good thing to miss weight. Turner used to fight at welterweight, 1-0 contender series, 2-0 in Bellator, 1-0 World Series of Fighting. Here's the big part. 4 inches taller than Moicano, 5 inches of reach on him, and he's 6 years younger. Turner's also more active landing strikes, better grappling stats, and has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.39 strikes per minute, minus 225. So a bigger odds here. Give me Jalen Turner. I really like Jalen Turner as a fighter. Obviously, the size is going to be a huge thing here, as is the youth. 6 years younger is a big thing, and he's just better all around. Dangerous on the feet, dangerous on the ground. I don't think Moicano is going to be able to sub him. So I think Turner is a very solid pick here.
So I'm going to debate you just ever so slightly. I don't think he's better in every facet. I do think he's a better striker. I do think he's stronger. I love the reach. I think all of those things are good. I think if this turns into a jiu-jitsu match, Moicano's got a massive
advantage. Yeah, okay. I agree with that, yes.
Like, and the only way that that happens is Moicano shoots a bunch of takedowns and gets there. And I don't trust that to happen, which is why I'm also going with Turner here. I think that Moicano once in a while does fall in love with his hands and really likes being able to strike and stand and bang with people. He's kind of shown that in some of the fights. Who is it that he knocked out? Was it Demir Hadzevic? Okay. That he knocked out way too fast, and he got mad at him for not fighting longer.
Yeah, that's not. I remember that. You're right. Yeah.
Yes, thank
you. Rune could choke that fight.
Oh, and he tapped right away. But I think he tagged. Did he? Was it a tag and bang? I think it was a tag and bang.
Sounds familiar. Yeah.
But whatever. Like occasionally, the dude really loves his hands. Is the bottom line. It's like once in a while he really likes to strike. And I think if he doesn't come out and shoot a takedown in the first 30 seconds of this fight, he'll come to regret it, because Jalen Turner will build momentum. Jalen Turner will hurt him. We'll wind up in one of those situations where we're shooting that takedown far too late in this fight to actually matter. And then you're in like that territory where occasionally we're like, okay, well he almost got that takedown, but if he was still fresh, he would have gotten it. So I think if Moicano comes out and wrestles, I think this negative 225 price on Turner will make you sweat. I don't particularly love this number. I think this fight is closer than this, but I would say like I don't trust Moicano to follow the game plan enough to really love the dog side here. So I'm going to go with Jalen Turner. I think he picks him apart from a distance early in the fight, avoids the takedowns once he's hurt him a little bit, and winds up winning this one.
It's not like Turner's a slouch when it comes to grappling either.
He's got like good. He's one of those guys though who he like catches other people when they're doing dumb things.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like who was it? Was it Brad Riddell that he hurt and subbed? And like he's good at doing that. Moicano's just like not a guy who does dumb things at jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? Like he's really good at grappling. So like I don't expect him to do dumb things, and I expect Turner to be the worst of the two grapplers here. But like, to your point, like, I guess he's no slouch. And so we can't assume that like he's going to get subbed here.
Yes. And 75% takedown defense. Hopefully that's the key. Hopefully that just, that just holds up for us. So, let me see. What are we moving to now? We are moving down one weight class. So that was just the early prelims, people. A pretty banging card just for that part of it. All right. We're going to the regular prelims, which will be 8 p.m. start time. Sadiq Youssef from Nigeria, I believe, right? Yes. Yep. Nigeria. Now residing in the United States of America. He will be fighting Diego Lopez from Brazil. The golden boy. Everyone's loving Diego Lopez currently. Let's see if we love him as well. All right. We can tell you about Youssef first. Super Sadiq Youssef, 13-3. 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 1 time, so very durable guy. 6-2 in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, 2-2 over his last 4. He did lose his last fight, which was his first main event performance. 1-0 on Contender Series. Used to fight at lightweight. Better striking stats, twice more active landing strikes than Lopez. Better grappling stats than Lopez, and he's outstruck his opponents by 1.39 strikes per minute. He's at plus 122, so another close fight here on paper. Lopez, 23-6, 9 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 2-1 in the UFC. However, he's won 2 straight, both via finish. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirts. Get all our shirts. Get our hats. Get all our gear. SportsGamingPodcast.com/store. So you can look cool like Gumby and I look all the time. Lopez, 0-1 in Contender Series, 2012 pro MMA debut. Yeah, people treat him like he's a young up-and-comer, but he's been around for 12 years. 2 inches height, 1 inch reach over Youssef, only a year younger. He's been outstruck in the UFC and the Contender Series by 2.44 strikes per minute, so he gets tagged up a lot. Minus 140. Are you in love with Lopez like everybody else is here, Gumby?
I am. Yeah. You okay. said minus 140?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So, first of all, I think that price is low. This is a guy who went toe-to-toe with Movsar Evloev. Mm-hmm. And
his only loss,
arguably, on super short notice, I think it was like 2 days, arguably took the first and the third round. I think undoubtedly took the first round off of Movsar Evloev, and I think he has a really good argument for having taken round 3 based on threatening with submissions. Like, you could have walked away from that fight, and one judge gave him the first, and one judge gave him the third, and like none gave him both of them. But like, there were judges who gave him both the first and the third round for different reasons. And I think when you look at that kind of performance on short notice, and then you look at what he's done afterwards, which is choke a guy out and knock a guy out in like, what, a combined 5 minutes or 4 minutes or something like that. And one of them was Pat Sabatini. And you know how high I am on Pat Sabatini. I love Pat Sabatini. To watch Pat Sabatini get knocked out like that by Diego Lopez, I've got all the faith in the world in this guy. And I also want to point us to just like the fact that like Sadiq Youssef, I really like his striking game. I think he's exceptionally good at striking, but there are weaknesses in the defensive side of what he does striking. Go back to his fight on the Contender Series, and granted, that was a long time ago, and he's evolved since then, but he fought Mike Davis, and he ate about 750 leg kicks in a row and barely could stand at the end of that fight. It was a fun back-and-forth fight, and he definitely won that fight, and obviously a win over Mike Davis ages really well, but also like, I would not be surprised to see Diego Lopez rip the legs like that. And I don't know that Sadiq's game has changed enough that he doesn't eat 38 leg kicks in this fight, wind up limping by the last round. And Diego Lopez takes advantage of that in a very different way than Mike Davis does. You know, he's deadly. He's dangerous. If you scramble with him at all, you're in danger of being submitted right now. Because Movsar Evloev, despite the fact that I find him to be one of the most boring fighters in the world, has really good submission defense.
So does Dana White. Yes.
Yeah, Dana White doesn't enjoy his fights either. Has really good submission defense, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, for him to be constantly on the defense against Lopez, I don't know that Youssef's grappling is good enough for that. So I like Diego Lopez quite a bit here.
All right, you sold me. I was kind of on the fence with this one. I was going to go Lopez unless you were able to convince me on the other side, and you weren't, obviously, because you're picking Lopez. So, yeah, I think Youssef's being maybe a little undervalued here, but overall game, you got to go with Diego Lopez, and just, you know, his intensity and pressure should win him this fight, hopefully, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right, we're dropping weight class. We're switching genders. This is a pretty, at least in terms of big names, pretty big fight here. Women's bantamweights, Holly Holm, Kayla Harrison. Yeah, this would have been a massive fight a couple years ago. Both of them lost a little bit of their luster since then, but still it should be an interesting fight regardless. We'll tell you about the preacher's daughter first. That would be Ms. Holly Holm. 15-6 with 8 knockouts. She's been knocked out once, submitted one time. 8-6 with 1 no contest in the UFC. Used to be the champion of the world. But did you hear the news? She only won because Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey had a bad mouth guard. That's the only reason why she lost. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And she fell down the stairs before and had a concussion. So that's the only reason. She didn't really lose. So, yeah. Good job. Holm, 3-1 with 1 no contest over her last 5. No contest was from her last fight, which originally was a submission loss. And then Mayra Buena Silva popped for, I think it was like ADHD medication. So got turned to a no contest. Holm used to fight at featherweight, was regional champion, 1-0 in Bellator. Yeah, it's surprising to read that she did fight in Bellator at one point. 2011 pro MMA debut, 33-2 in boxing and a multi-time champion in that realm. I think she's a Hall of Famer in that genre. You did some kickboxing as well professionally. 3 inches of reach over Harrison, plus 360. This is a squash one, a squash match on paper. Harrison, 16-1, 6 knockouts, 6 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. This is her UFC debut. She did win her last fight. She went 16-1 in the PFL. Was their champion in 2019 and 2021. Used to fight at featherweight and lightweight. That's the big thing here that people are really zeroing in on. Harrison, very big gal. Not that by any means. So it's not like it'll be easy. Just get in shape and you'll make the weight class. So she does have to cut down to bantamweight here, which she has not fought at before. 2-time gold medalist in judo in the Olympics, obviously 9 years younger than Holm, minus 425. Obviously, give me Kayla Harrison. I'm not going to pick Holly Holm in pretty much any fight at this point. She is shot. Harrison, she lost one fight to Larissa Pacheco, but Holly Holm is no Pacheco at this point. I think Harrison will be able to take her down and she can basically can outgrapple anyone that she's going to face. So this is a nice win over a big name for her to get her feet wet in the UFC.
I hate myself for this. I'm going to take Holly Holm.
Oh my God.
I'm not a Holly Holm fan. I don't enjoy watching her. I won't get into the reasons. I don't like Kayla Harrison at 135. The more and more I think about it, all of her advantages come from being strong and having the cardio to do those kinds of 15-minute fights, right? Or 25-minute fights or whatever. She is going to have to give up quite a bit of her strength, quite a bit of her cardio, quite a bit of all of that to fight Holly Holm, which, first of all, you're right. Holly Holm, not what she used to be. But one of the things we have seen from Holly Holm is, like, she's, with the exception of the Mayra Buena Silva fight, she's largely held up in the clinch. And in fact, she's even turned it into one of her weapons. Like, you want to go back to her win over Raquel Pennington? All she did was press Raquel Pennington up against the cage for 15 minutes and win that fight. Like, she has turned that into a place where she's quite good at changing the positions and throwing a knee to the body and just staying busy enough to stay there. And I'm not saying she's going to do that to Kayla Harrison, but that to me gives me enough confidence she could survive those. And if she survives just the first round of that, I think she takes over in the second and the third here and she just picks Kayla Harrison apart. Because Kayla Harrison's hands are not as good as Holly Holm's, even in Holly Holmes' advanced age. Her striking is still quite limited, which is what wound up showing out in that Larissa Pacheco fight, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, to your point, you said Holly Holm might not be Larissa Pacheco anymore. But, like, is she? Because, like, who have we seen Larissa Pacheco beat that we're like, oh, damn, Larissa Pacheco.
Kayla Harrison.
Right, exactly. We've seen her beat Kayla Harrison and we're like, oh, Larissa Pacheco's really changed since her days where she got murdered repeatedly in the UFC. Because that's a fact, by the way. Like, go back and look at Larissa Pacheco's record in the UFC. Just absolutely beat down every time she stepped into the cage, including once by Holly Holm, if I'm not mistaken. I think Holly Holm knocked her out.
Really?
Go back and look up Larissa Pacheco's record. Put the intern on it. I'm almost positive she got knocked out.
I mean, the intern's on it.
Yeah. Put the intern on it. Don't do that so that work yourself. But, like, Holly Holm.
No, incorrect.
Who did she get knocked out by?
I don't know. I'm not on her account yet, but I will be. Keep going. I mean, the intern will be.
Okay. So, I really thought Larissa Pacheco is one of the ones, or Holly Holm's one of the ones who got Pacheco. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know that Larissa Pacheco is a good win or a loss for Kayla Harrison, but we do know that Holly Holm can strike and beat people who choose to strike with her, even at this age. So, I'm going to go with Holly Holm. Plus 360 to me seems like too wide of a line.
Jessica Andrade, Jermaine Duranemi. You're really going to badmouth her for losing in the UFC?
Oh, it was the Jermaine Duranemi one that I'm thinking okay, of yeah. because I was like, oh, yeah, Jermaine Duranemi. They just showed that highlight for the Jermaine Duranemi fight yeah. Where she and got then, knocked out. But no, like, but look at the rest of her record since then, right? Like, so she did win. She did beat those two because now I've got it pulled up too. And then she beat Carol Hosa, I guess, right after that. She guillotined Carol Hosa. Then she beat Sarah Kaufman. I guess maybe that's a...
Hey, Canadian.
Julia that Budd. That matters. Julia Budd at Featherweight.
Another Canadian. My gosh, yeah, she's I'm mean. Just gonna, on Canadians.
I'm just going to hate on all the Canadian. You know, like, she beat Julia Budd right after Aspen Ladd did. So, you know, like, that's... these are the type of people Kayla Harrison's out here beating. So, like, I don't know that Larissa Pacheco, and I hate that this has turned into just like slandering her for 20 yes. minutes.
She's the one taking stray shots here. Yes.
Yeah. But like that's all we have to weigh Kayla Harrison by. And we're going to get her at minus 500 in her debut against a former champ, granted an age former champ, but a former champ.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. I didn't see this coming. Gummy. Not saying you're wrong.
I hate Holly Holm.
Yeah, Holly Holm has lived off that her one exciting fight against Ronda Rousey for how long was that? Like a decade.
She's just not fun to watch.
No, she's not. She's not. Okay. Enough badmouthing everybody. That's what this show's all about, though, right? We badmouth people. You people love it. Holly Holm's URL on Tapology is Holly Holm -hottie. Did you know that?
thank you for reading URLs. This is what
yes, someone has good some radio fun with that, how sexist of that Tapology. How sexist. I thought they were professionals. All right, we're moving up weight class. We're switching back over to the men's side. This is a featherweight fight, excuse me. Aljamain Sterling, his debut at featherweight in the UFC versus Calvin Kattar. They're not giving him an easy out by any means in his debut here. Let's tell you about Mr. Kattar first. Once my spreadsheet opens, here we are. The Boston finisher. 23-7, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, 7-5 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight and only won 1 of his last 4. Lost the last 5 via TKO due to injury, and he's not fought since due to this injury. That was his knee, Gumby, if I remember correctly?
Yep.
October 2022, that was. So he's been out for a while, which is odd. This is a guy that usually is in there constantly. He's not won a fight since January 2022. He's fought at lightweight. 2007 pro MMA debut, 4 inches height, 1 inch reach over Sterling. More active landing strikes than Sterling is. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.98 strikes per minute. Not good. Plus 143. Funkmaster Sterling, 23-4, 3 knockouts, 8 submissions. Been knocked out twice, 15-4 in the UFC. Used to be the champion of the world at bantamweight. Now he's down. No, he's up. Excuse me, at featherweight. 9-1 over his last 10. Lost his last fight, VTKO for the belt to the champ, Sean O'Malley. But that loss is starting to age even better and better. 2011 pro debut for Mr. Sterling. A year younger than Kattar. Better striking stats. His outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.32 strikes per minute. Minus 160. All you.
I'm going to go Calvin Kattar.
Wow, you are going wild on this episode. You're surprising me.
I really thought I was going to go Aljamain Sterling when this fight was booked. Because, like, look, the narrative's there, right? Bad knee, good grappler. That's really all you need.
Bad knee, good grappler.
That's the bad knee. Oh, good caveman. Yeah, caveman analysis. That'll be our new niche.
New segment, ladies and gentlemen.
But like, here's the thing about that kind of analysis. Calvin Kattar is exceptionally good at defending the takedown. Mm-hmm. Like, and granted, you're right. I'm sure somebody out there is screaming at the screen. He's never grappled anybody like Aljamain Sterling, and you're right. You're 100% right. But does 9 consecutive stuffed takedowns against Dan Ige mean nothing? Because, like, Dan Ige, pretty damn good wrestler, right? Like, what his wrestling game against Edson Barboza or, like, any of those performances he's had, you have to respect Dan Ige's wrestling game. And he clearly went in with a plan of taking down Calvin Kattar and didn't. Do you know who the last person to take down Calvin Kattar is?
Do tell. Tell us who.
Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Do you remember him?
R.I.P. Yeah. His career.
Not to his career. His career is just now he's a doctor, right?
Really?
Yeah, I think he's a doctor in Russia now.
Wow.
So, yeah, it pays like a little better. That's the last guy who took down Calvin Kattar, and he won a 4. And I don't know if you guys remember, Zabit was an insanely good wrestler, and he went 1 of 4 on Calvin Kattar. Now, granted, he did win that fight, but like Aljamain Sterling, to me, I think his striking is not going to play against a guy like Calvin Kattar. As we've seen, the only guy who's like really taken it to Kattar on the feet has been Max Holloway. And I don't think Aljamain Sterling boxes like Max Holloway. And then like nobody's taken him down. So like what is the path to victory here from Aljamain Sterling if this stands on the feet? If you think Calvin Kattar can stuff takedowns, the dog money's pretty nice here. So I'm going to go Calvin Kattar.
I'm not, but I like your breakdown regardless. I like Sterling. I don't think change of weight class is going to make too much of a difference. I think Kattar obviously has been through the ringer over his career, and I don't like the fact he's been out for, maybe actually it'll be a positive for him for being out that long, but yeah, I still like Sterling here. Not just a grappler. He's obviously predominantly a grappler. I would prefer to see him grapple.
You like here, his but, boxing?
No.
The last time I saw him box, it didn't end well.
No. I like Sterling winning via decision this fight. If you don't like,
I like the
even better line.
I like the total prop here for the over.
Okay, what's that?
I think.
Well, what's the number on it?
I don't have it in front of me right now, but okay. Like to your point, if you like Aljamain Sterling by decision, I like Kattar by decision. Whatever side you're in, grab the over, and while you're prepping this next fight, I'll pull up that number.
Cool. Yeah, we don't see this fight ending, is what we're saying, until the third round ends. So there you go. All right, main event of prelims. It could be a main event on a fight night, like I have said numerous times here. Yuri Prohashka from Czech Republic versus the returning Alexander Rakic from Serbia. 3 5-minute rounds, 205. I'll tell you about Prohashka first. BJP is the nickname. 29-4-1, 25 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. 3-1 in the UFC, was the champion of the world at this weight class. Got TKO'd in his last fight. Was the Ryzen champion as well as a regional champion. Used to fight at heavyweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. Also a Muay Thai champion. So his mantle is just aching with just ready to crash with all of the awards this man has and medals and belts. 2 inches of reach over Rakic, more active landing strikes than Rakic. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.14 strikes per minute, plus 105 for the former champ. Rocket Alexander Rakic, 14-3, 9 knockouts, 1 submission. Knocked out once, submitted once. 5-2 in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, 2-2 over his last 4. Lost the last fight via injury, and he has not been seen since. May 2022 is when he got hurt. Is not once is March of 2021, 2011 pro MMA debut, an inch height over Prohashka. He's got a positive strike differential of 1.71 strikes per minute, minus 117. I am surprised by these odds. I will take the former champ at plus 105. I don't like Rakic coming off such a long injury time on the sidelines. Boy, I'm struggling as we come to the finish line. Fighters who have been out over a year only win 46% of the time, so that's not real positive. I might even take Prohashka if this was Rakic on a normal, rest time. I like Prohashka's power. I like his wildness. And Rakic hasn't really beaten anyone at Prohashka's level before. So, yeah, I will gladly take the former champ at plus money, so plus 105 on Prohashka.
You know, I like Yuri Prohashka's wildness too, but I hate it in this fight. Because I think Rakic is the type of guy who takes advantage of that. And I think coming off of that injury that he has actually is going to make him more careful in this fight. And I think that plays well. I think people forget how good of a grappler Alexander Rakic is too. His takedown game, like he wrestles a lot better than people give him credit for. With Prohashka being so wild and him being a little bit more safe, I could see him wearing on Yuri Prohashka. Obviously, I'm also worried about just like the beating Prohashka took in the last fight. You're worried about the layoff. I'm worried about the beating. I think that's probably a good way of looking at those last two fights and what our priorities are. You're really worried about the 2 knee injuries that these guys have suffered. Yeah. I'm really worried about Aljamain Sterling and Yuri Prohashka being violently knocked out in both of their last fights. Mm-hmm. And I think against a guy like Alexander Rakic, despite the fact that, he has been away for a while, it's not like he can't turn off Yuri's lights. It's not like Yuri hasn't been stunned, right? In fact, Yuri got stunned by Glover Teixeira, and only reason he won that fight is because Glover then was like, but also what if we were wrestling while you're stunned? Because like he could have just kept hitting him and he probably would have knocked him out. So I think Jiří has shown that like the wildness has effectiveness, but I think to an extent, and when you fight somebody who's like a little bit more technical, like Rakic tends to be, at least for a light heavyweight, I think that kind of becomes a disadvantage and not an advantage.
All right, there you go. Gumby dares to go against me on a bunch of fights at the end. So that's okay. Now you get both sides of the argument that way. So, all right, let's wrap it up. We'll give you a recap of all the picks in case you were daydreaming and not paying attention to us. I have Prochazka. He has Rakic. He has Cater. I have Sterling. He has Holm. I have Harrison. That's the surprise one to me. We both have Lopez. We both have Turner. I have Andrade. He has Rodriguez. We both have Miller. We both have Figueiredo. So there you go. Hopefully you enjoyed part one of our blockbuster UFC 300 episode. I say part one because tomorrow, of course, we shall be back in your ears and eyes, or both, with our main card and all our fancy plays. Until then, you can catch us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. You can catch us on Twitter, SGPNMMA, @GambyReelIn, @JeffFoxWriter. You can catch me on Instagram, same handle, JeffFoxWriter. Get in my Substack. Free subscription will get you an entry into my weekly pick'em contest. And yes, of course, I am running a pick'em for this weekend's UFC 300. So enter for free, win real prizes. Gumby, Top Turtle MMA podcast. We already mentioned Jim Miller is a guest this week. Who else do you have on this week?
The women's bantamweight champion of the world, Raquel Pennington.
Correct. And if you want to see a video of that interview, listen to Gumby's podcast as well. But you can see video of it on our YouTube channel, MMA Gambling Podcast. Gumby was kind enough to share that with us on our YouTube channel. So make sure you listen, though. Like I said, it's good podcast that Gumby has there because I am not on it. That's what makes it stellar. Where else can you catch us? Obviously, you can catch all our work at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby and I have articles up there literally every day. No exaggeration there. And if we're not your speed, which is weird, if we're not your speed, why are you still watching and listening to us 50 minutes in? But if we're not your speed, we have a bunch of other amazing writers there as well. And you can get access to all our other podcasts and any giveaways, discounts, all that good stuff is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. So you can dress cool like us cool dads here on the show. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. So we can keep the corporate gambling wolves at bay. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Mohican, Jeff Fox. What should Gumby's name be today? No Love, Gumby Vreeland. And we shall talk to you tomorrow about UFC 300 pay-per-view portion. Bye.